Welcome to Church Drunk, a spirited conversation about faith, reason, and libations.
Here, here.
Welcome back. It's been a while.
Oh my goodness.
In case you forgot, because it's been several weeks off.
Ordinary time lasts forever.
Because Dizzy was hurt. Her workaholism finally caught up to her.
Oh my gosh, you guys. More on St. Blaise and Blessing of the Throats later. Should have done it. Listen to me now.
But since it has been a while, and also because we do it at the beginning of every episode, little warning here that we sometimes get a bit foul-mouthed. So if you don't like toilet humor and potty jokes, then...
Or breast jokes,
yeah. There's going to be some...
Heads up.
Yeah, there's going to be some mammary glands in this episode. You might want to go elsewhere for your spiritual direction.
Yeah.
We're Catholics. You don't have to be. So we tend to, get kind of blasphemous from time to time.
If that's
not your cup of tea, then also we are not your spiritual directors. But
nope.
If you're into cursing and swearing at God sometimes.
But also really trying hard.
Then welcome.
And drinks.
Yeah. So on that note, Diz, what are you drinking this fine evening?
I am sipping a festive Twin Peaks. And this is in honor of Saint Agatha.
Yes.
And breasts.
Yes.
So what you do...
It's the patron liquor of breast cancer.
Cheers. And it's almost a peachy color.
Yeah.
It could be pink-ish.
Speaking of which, I just made what I consider to be a significant patron saint faux pas. Because people say, for the patrons of particular illnesses, they'll be like, oh,
yes.
Saint Agatha, she's the patroness of breast cancer. And it's no, you are not the patron or patroness of a disease. You are the patron or patroness of sufferers of that disease.
For the cause of
so
those
this
who
is
suffer.
The patron saint of breast cancer survivors, maybe?
Sure. Or just those who suffer from it or are affected by it.
Okay.
Also of wet nurses. But we're going to get more to St. Agatha later.
Yes.
Firstly, first things first, dear guests.
What's in the glass?
We pour things into glasses. You guys get two cocktails today. So maybe wait, hear both the recipes. Or if you just like boobs, you go straight for this one. Mm-hmm. Twin Peaks. Okay. So you take 1.5 ounces of whiskey and 1/2 ounce of sweet vermouth. 1 teaspoon of orange liqueur. We used Grand Marnier.
Yeah.
And by we, I mean for resident patron saint of mixed drinks. Guess. And then, I have 2 twists of lemon because I like them. And I had a little float because this is all booze otherwise.
Yeah, it's booze and lemon.
It's really good though. Yeah. Obviously, you pour it all into a shaker.
Yeah.
For 40 shakes.
Yeah.
And put your lemon twists.
There you go.
Peels a little good. Some of that oil. It's really good. The lemon's worth it. You got to have the lemon.
A little lemon garnish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. How about you? What are you drinking?
I'm drinking the San Sebastian in honor of Saint Sebastian.
San Sebastian.
The martyr, if we're noticing a theme for this evening.
Yeah. Pierced.
He got pierced. Patron saint of piercings.
Mm-hmm.
We have 1 ounce of gin, 1/4 ounce or 1.5 ounces in my case of light rum, a bit of grapefruit juice, 1/4 ounce triple sec, and 1/2 ounce of lemon juice. Shake it 40 times. Pour it in the glass.
Here, here. Cheers. Hey.
So, to St. Agatha and St. Sebastian and the rest of the patron martyrs.
Yes. If you are a dedicated listener and remember a long time ago.
Last time we
said we were going to talk about January martyrs.
We were so naive.
Martyrs.
We were so young and innocent. We were like, we'll be back next week with the drunk lives of the martyrs.
Oh my gosh. The plague is real. But you know, booze is good for the plague, you guys.
It is.
You got to sweat that out.
You do.
Kill it with alcohol. It's good for you.
So this is our Drunk Lives of the Martyrs episode.
Hey.
And it's been a long time coming. So we apologize for the delay. But obviously you can tell from Dizzy's lovely dulcet tones that she's still kicking whatever was keeping her down for a couple of weeks. Not to mention the fact that she was still working like a dog.
That's how it happens.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good warning to everyone that I really could not have been here with you, Church Drunk, until right now.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So
it was a travesty for the whole world.
We did keep the blog alive one way or another.
Yes. Shout out to guests for writing so thoughtfully. You can read about the other best way to incorporate wheat besides booze, which is bread.
Making some bread with Brother Rick.
Suffering.
Suffering, yeah. Which kind of, Brother Rick, patron saint of my kitchen, and suffering. And that still leads us right back to The martyrs.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. There are so many martyrs.
Yeah.
So we originally thought martyrs because we hadn't done something specific on them.
Yeah.
And we like to do drunk lives of the saints.
Yeah.
Because we like to be drunk.
We were due for a drunk life.
We were due.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we like saints. We think saints are a really important part of our faith lives.
That's how closet alcoholics say it. They don't just say we like to be drunk. You go, no, we were due for a drunk lives of the saints.
Listen, I told you earlier, we are not a recovery podcast. We are a straight up drinky podcast.
Yeah. What would you call it? Functional podcast?
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's not think too hard about that. Okay, so it's time for
Drunk Lives and Martyrs.
We were looking at our dear book.
Michael P. Foley's Drinking with the Saints.
Drinking with the Saints.
Which, if you recall from our earlier, actually in this very season, when we were getting into our Advent, Drinking with St. Nick, we got into a bit of a cocktail fight with Michael P. Foley.
Yeah.
Because we had a couple of clunkers, in our opinion. Everybody's tastes are different. Mm-hmm. But we are officially, with these two, back on the Michael P. Foley train. We got some good ones.
I feel like we even had to make choices. Like, there were more in this section that we could have gone with.
So, in thumbing through it, way back in January, we saw that there was a Feast of St. Sebastian in January. And
St. Agnes.
St. Agnes. Yes. So, we said, well, that would be perfect for Drunk Lives of the Martyrs. And we haven't talked much about the martyrs, which is kind of a weird phenomenon, if you ask me, in the Catholic Church. That if you give your life for the faith. I mean, I guess a lot of religions have their own version of this.
Yeah.
But like canonization is for people who are not martyred, is a long, drawn out process.
You have to prove shit.
Right.
You have to like send miracles from the grave.
If you
die, that's mine.
Natural causes or something like that. Like, you cannot expect to be canonized anytime soon.
Right.
Whereas the martyrs who are like brutally murdered because of their, you know,
their faith.
Catholicity.
Yeah.
It's like fast track, like express route to being canonized as a saint.
Right. But you also can't like ask to be martyred. Like there's this little trick. And actually one of the saints we're going to talk about today, or I might throw out there, almost didn't get it, even though she was martyred, because she kind of like asked for it.
Right. Yeah.
So you could resist and then they put you to death.
Yeah.
But if you're like, take me now, church is a little unsure about that one.
Yeah.
So lots of martyrs, and a lot of them in the early church. I mean, I know today it's like a big thing to talk about. Like, people are still being martyred for the faith.
Right.
And like, they are.
Yes.
And we're very sorry about that, people.
Yes.
But you're probably not going to get your name like widely known.
Yeah. And certainly not in like Western culture for the most part.
No.
Like, we, you know, like there's a few instances where you hear about, you know, like some sort of whack job who is out there and he's, you know, threatening to kill people that, you know, don't renounce their faith or something like that. But this is definitely something where when you step back in time, Roman Empire and from there on forward at different times in history, there have been Christian persecutions. And there are, again, there are some that are systematic in today's world, but not, you know, nobody's getting really thrown to the lions in front of like a stadium full of people, you know?
Right.
So it's a whole different ball of wax when you get back to those early years.
Yeah. So lots of martyrs in the early days of the church, especially before the Roman Empire becomes Christian.
Right.
Constantine, was that 313, 300, something like that.
Yeah.
So before then, there's lots of them. So lots of 4th century martyrs.
Yeah.
And a lot of them in January and February, which I didn't really know. Like, I had heard of some of these people, but didn't realize that all their feast days were kind of clustered together. So the first one we noticed, well, you want to talk about St. Sebastian first? Because he's like the first
one, the idea of being like,
he gets
like
a shout out,
you know,
that
publicly executionered by the Roman Empire, brings us to St. Sebastian, who died, was martyred. He didn't die. He was martyred. In the year 288. So third century martyr. And St. Sebastian is pretty well known among Catholic circles because he has the unique distinction of having been martyred twice.
Yeah.
So his feast day is January 20th.
It's like extra credit.
And I'm guessing that's the second time that he got martyred.
Yeah, I don't think he counted the first one.
So, but when you do a little digging on St. Sebastian, you actually find an interesting story. So he actually joined the Roman Praetorian Guard. And legend is legend and who knows what the truth is.
Yeah.
But legend has it that he enlisted in the hopes of being able to sort of in his own way, work from within the system to halt the execution of Christians so that he could kind of subversively work against
this feels like a little bit
anti-Christian
of like
regime, right?
Rewriting of somebody's story.
Because, like, what's one guy going to do? But hey, that's what the world is full of saints, where we say, what's one guy going to do?
Yeah, do your piece wherever you are.
So Saint Sebastian is working against this Christian persecution from within the Praetorian Guard. People did not know that he was a Christian. He was just trying to be a nice guy.
Right.
But eventually, word goes straight to the top. Emperor Diocletian finds out the truth and says that he was to be used as target practice for the archers in the Roman army. So they tie him up to a tree or a post or something like that. And
so gross.
The historical record says that he was filled with arrows until he looked like a hedgehog.
Oh, which poor Sebastian.
A lot
Sebastian
of arrows.
Sebastian the hedgehog. Children's book, write it now.
Right. Now, here's the interesting part is that despite the fact that he was filled with arrows like a hedgehog, there was actually a widow of someone else who had been martyred who found him and nursed him back to health. Now, this part to me...
That's a lot of arrows to, like, pluck out.
Right?
And ugh.
Ouch. So her husband had been martyred, and she goes around through essentially, like, the fields of Christian... people who had been executed, Christian martyrs,
right.
and basically, like, you know, buries the dead, which to me brings two things to mind. Number one, this is like straight out of Monty Python. Like, bring out your dead, right? She's like,
are you
going
dead
around.
Yet?
Yeah, and Saint Sebastian's there, like, I'm not dead yet.
She's like, you're a porcupine. How are you not dead yet?
Exactly. Like, this is to me the like most ridiculous thing. But then again, when you think about it, right? Like, let's step out of the ridiculousness and into what if this is true. Like, the fact that they were living in a world where Christians would go and they would, like, scour the fields for Christians who had been killed, beaten to death, martyred, and then give them a proper burial. There's something very sweet about
it's
that.
It's so nice. So, bury the dead is a corporal work of mercy, and it should be.
It is both sweet and Monty Python-esque.
And you never, those are the best kind.
Right.
And you never know that while you're out doing your good work of burying the dead, you might find an actual fucking saint.
Right.
Riddled with arrows.
Riddled with arrows. But apparently strong enough to survive. She cleans him up. And he obviously can't go back to his job in the Praetorian Guard.
No.
So what does he do? He goes straight back to work as a Christian evangelist stands on the steps of a public square and, like, renounces the emperor and starts, like, yelling at him, like, hey, asshole, still here, and you still
suck.
You
didn't get me.
You better stop killing Christians. Obviously, the emperor was not super excited about that.
No.
And, ordered his guards to seize him and make sure that they got
this
it right the second time.
Yeah.
I don't know, actually.
Was he arrowed a second time?
He was not arrowed a second time. I believe he was probably, like, stabbed or beheaded or something like that, like, where they knew they would get the job done. But yeah, I think they did not, they didn't get creative with it the second time around. So all of the images of Saint Sebastian, usually what you see is, like, the image of a saint who's a martyr. They have, like, the method of their death, like, with them in their icon. And Saint Sebastian is always, he's standing there full of arrows. But that's not actually what killed him. Huh. He was martyred twice.
Well, there you go. And so is he a patron for archers?
Patron of athletes.
Oh,
because of
that's
his
right.
tremendous strength.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, here's the Saint Sebastian, martyred twice.
And thus, the glass gets raised of San Sebastian cocktail in his honor.
It's a tasty cocktail.
It is,
I feel, also, Foley let us down with the name of it, though.
The San Sebastian?
Yeah, like, don't you think it should have a more creative, arrowish name?
There's nothing, the archer. I don't know, though. When I take a sip of San Sebastian.
Sip.
Brings me back to northern España, you know, because I think maybe Saint Sebastian should also be the patron saint of tapas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
maybe a good time. Then.
I just made that up.
Yeah. I'm all for it. I don't hate it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, so that was January 20th, Feast of St. Sebastian, which is kind of what got what some of the wheels were turning along the lines
what
of.
What day is actually Agnes?
Yeah. So next up on the list is going to be St. Agnes, who
Agnes of
is
God.
A fascinating story. In
well,
her own, right?
We don't really know a lot about her,
yeah.
is the interesting thing.
Yeah, that, well, the martyrs, you don't need to know anything except yep. the fact that they died, right?
Right.
Usually some
okay.
sort of brutal death
but like,
with the name of Jesus on their lips and no pain in their
okay.
Body and their hearts on fire for God. Like, there's one
True.
Small
True.
Instant, right? How many of these martyrs were just complete assholes in life? Horrible
Nobody
people.
Nobody fucking knows.
But they, at the last moment, they're like, hey, are you a Christian? And you're like, yes. And they go, you're dead.
Yeah.
It's canonized. Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. So at least we
well,
legend
Agnes,
has it that St. Sebastian was not one of those.
Listen, Agnes had a couple things going in her favor for sainthood. Because while Sebastian got martyred twice, nobody walks around talking about the dude martyrs and being like, he was a virgin and a martyr. No, they only say that about the girls because sexism.
Point.
Okay. Have you ever heard of like, I mean, I guess with some of the male saints are like, he might have been like chaste or a holy man, but nobody's like Saint Sebastian, the virgin martyr.
Saint Brandon, virgin and martyr. Yeah.
Nobody's
no, it doesn't
concerned.
Really happen. Yeah.
About the chastity and the of the boys because yeah. they're fucking boys, you know.
Right.
Like,
hopefully they're right. not fucking boys.
Well,
but, I mean,
they very well could be. It was the Roman
doesn't
Empire,
matter, right? Are
Greece
you,
is right
are you
there.
Christian?
It's
I am.
Right there.
Boom, you're dead. Martyr. Sainthood.
Okay.
Yep. Okay.
So Saint
tell
Agnes,
us about Saint Agnes.
Not only is she a martyr, she is also a virgin. So she, that's like two, you know, double points in the church. Like
mm-hmm.
you're extra saint-y if that's the case.
Right.
And so she's January 21st. Also 3rd century.
Yep.
And so we don't know a lot about her except for that she was really young, like
right.
12 or 13. And she, they don't even know exactly how she died. They think beheading or burning or strangling.
One
you
of
know,
those.
One of those horrible ways.
I can see
ways.
How you'd be confused, right?
Yeah. So she actually does get conflated a bit with St. Agnes, but they have separate feast days and everything.
Right, right.
So she was like St. Agatha, who's coming up. Agnes was confined to a house of prostitution. But, like, was, like, miraculously preserved from it.
Yes.
So all these guys were like, not that one. Or, like, whatever happened, like, she didn't get...
Right.
She remained a virgin.
Which the most logical conclusion would be that she was, like, hideously ugly, right?
Yeah, I mean, her name means, like, lamb.
But in all
like,
of these stories, it's always, like, she was so beautiful that everybody wanted her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, but people got afraid of her because one guy who looked at her lustfully,
yeah.
so somebody thought she was cute, he went blind.
Yeah.
And so then maybe everybody else was like, well, don't look at that
She's
one.
A witch.
Keep going.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Back to Monty Python. All your saint lessons can be summed up.
Let's go watch
in Monty Python and the Holy
it's
Grail.
It's actually available to stream
yes.
right now.
What?
I watched it the
oh
other night.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Go now. So the St. Agnes, and she's held up as this, like, you know, young girl, virgin martyr, kind of connected. They were saying, like, to St. Maria Goretti today. Like,
yeah.
we look at this young girl as an inspiration.
Right.
Kind of a paradoxical thing because girls and young and they just yeah. don't think they're worth much.
St. Maria Goretti, yeah. for those of you who aren't in the know, a much
okay.
more,
yes,
like,
tell
modern
us about her.
Era saint, a lovely young lady, also, like, too young to be lusted after.
Right.
But crazy
Which,
neighbor.
You know,
lusts
it's not
after
really a
her
thing, but okay.
and shows up to try to, like,
yeah.
force himself upon
mm-hmm.
her.
Yeah.
And she resisted and he stabbed her
he
to death.
He stabbed her to death.
Now, interesting story though about St. Maria Goretti. Like, things get like a little crazy from there because
yeah.
St.
No,
Maria Goretti, being a martyr,
yep.
was put on that fast track to canonization. And she is, to my knowledge, the only person who's been canonized with, like, their parents there at the ceremony, like
yes.
to witness, like, this giant celebration of this person's life
and
her attacker, who
yeah.
she apparently had some sort of miraculous apparition to her attacker in prison to forgive him to like,
yeah,
say,
I was
hey,
gonna say, I feel like
I'm
she's
okay.
more famous for the forgiveness
yeah,
aspect because I
right.
think that part of the story has been emphasized. Maybe
so, like,
her family offered forgiveness when
maybe,
he repented
yeah.
or
but
something,
like, her parents and killer
yeah.
all
yeah.
at the ceremony when she was
it's
canonized.
Fucked up.
Yeah, totally
yeah.
crazy.
Okay, so Agnes, though.
Yeah.
She's the patron saint of girls and Girl Scouts. And it is Girl Scout cookie time right now, you guys.
It is indeed.
So go celebrate St. Agnes with your Girl Scout cookie
yeah.
of choice. January already passed, but you can still celebrate it.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
I'll just do St. Agatha because we're
yeah,
kind of
roll
on
from
it.
Agnes
there's
into
these
Agatha.
AG names.
Yeah.
They're golden.
Right. No, AG is for silver. You.
Oh, no.
They are.
Is it AU or silver? Silver girls.
AG.
All right. Damn it. So I was trying so hard. Okay. So Agatha,
silver-haired
though.
Silver-haired golden girls. There you go.
Okay.
We're there.
I mean, silver's nice, too.
Uh-huh.
They're precious. They're precious metals.
Sterling.
Okay. Oh, my God. So I'm drinking a Twin Peaks in honor of St. Agatha.
Yes.
And we know a little bit more about St. Agatha, and I have to just check to make sure. She's tomorrow. She's going to be the 5th.
Yes.
So we're recording the night before. But
and also patron saint of bakers, and we will explain why, because
I don't have that.
No, that's we were just talking about that. You didn't pick up on that? I'll explain. Okay. You go ahead. Tell us the story.
I have her as diseases of the breast.
Yeah.
And of nurses.
Right.
And of wet nurses.
And bakers. And I will tell you why. This is straight from Michael P. Foley. Yeah.
Fucking Michael P. Foley. Yeah. Well, I do enjoy the drink, so we'll give it to him today. Okay. All right. So St. Agatha, a little bit later, but still in the 3rd century.
Yep.
Early martyr. She also was put into a house of prostitution for being a Christian as a way to, like, convert her from that. But she was also put...
Which is like... Can we just pause about that? Because there are some Middle Ages saints that are, you know, like they were put to convents, right? Which is like if you brought dishonor on your family somehow, you got put in the convent to be, you know, reformed, right?
Yeah.
But in Roman times, it was the exact opposite. If you were a Christian, you got put into a house of prostitution
and I wonder,
to be reformed into a pagan.
No, it wasn't to be reformed, though. It was to be mistreated.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Like, it wasn't like, oh, now you're going to discover your hidden passions.
Realistically.
And embrace Dionysus and the Vestal Virgins. No, it was because they were going to, like, have their way with you in horrible, like, tweaky Roman ways, like...
Which, I mean, also a punishment was the convent, right? Like, oh, geez.
Whoa. Seriously. I wasn't even touching that.
Siri, you are not welcome on our podcast.
Copyright infringement. Dang.
No, but like the convent was a punishment too. The convent was not actually to be reforming like these
women. That's true.
Women.
It
was punishment.
Well, Agatha got a lot of punishment though.
Yeah.
I mean, she got dragged out. So she gets put in there. It doesn't really work.
Mm-hmm.
And they would just like take her out and do awful things to her, including cutting off her breasts.
Well, that was because she resisted, right? Like, she fought back and...
Well, she wasn't dying.
Was not going to convert from Christianity.
But also, it wasn't, like, working on her.
Right.
Like, the evil, like, beatings that they were doing, they, like, made her roll around on coals naked. And she was like, like, still feeling Jesus. And they're like, cut off her boobs.
So they cut off her boobs.
Yeah, pretty awful. So she, though, is so special in Catholic art.
Yeah.
St. Sebastian, you can recognize because he's riddled with arrows like a porcupine.
Like a porcupine.
St. Agatha.
Like a hedgehog.
You can, like a hedgehog. Hedgehogs are much cuter.
They're very cute.
Oh, St. Sebastian was a cute kid.
Yeah.
All right, so he's riddled with arrows. But St. Agatha is represented by holding a charger, like those fancy, like, gold plates
lovely
that go,
platter.
Like, under your other plates.
And upon the platter are?
Her breasticles.
Her boobs.
Pointing upwards, like, with their nips, like, they're, like, erect, horrible boobs. Like, Google this. I dare you. St. Agatha.
St. Agatha.
That's all I do is Google.
And her platter
of boobs. Don't put
boobs
on your search. It's fine. You'll see it. It's really disturbing. And it just, like, highlights this sort of... Once again, we talk a lot about the physicality of the church and like how we like that. But sometimes it takes
a
very
intense.
Explicit turn where they're like, yes, like her actual breasts, you guys, are on a charger.
Yeah.
You need to revere this.
And that's
saint.
Not even what killed her. She survived that as well.
No, she was like,
it was like,
and it's, oh yeah, the account says that like Jesus took care of her in her recovery. She was fine and healed her of everything.
Right.
She was like, I'm fine without these.
Right.
And they're like, oh,
didn't
are you?
Anyway.
We'll drag you back out and torture you some more.
Continue. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beatings will continue until morale improves.
Or until you die.
So the patroness of bakers
Me about this.
Comes from, the stained glass windows and whatnot that have St. Agatha with her bosoms on a plate. And keep in mind, again, going back to these Middle Ages, everybody's illiterate. The stained glass windows are there to educate you.
Oh,
and so you
did
see
tell
the
me this.
Story of the saints and how they died and all that kind of stuff depicted in this art, right? Well, St. Agatha always has her boobs on a plate but the poor saps in the Middle Ages who couldn't even conceive of removing the bosoms as
how
some sort
that
of
happen?
Punishment.
Yeah.
They just assumed that she was holding some steaming hot loaves of bread on her tray, and so they made her the patroness of bakers.
I wish that had been listed.
That is the most dunderheaded thing.
It's so innocent, though. It's like, look, St. Agatha's bringing us some, like, morning buns. How delightful. Are those currants on top?
Hot cross buns. I love hot cross buns.
All the same hot cross buns, you say? Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
she's in the catacombs, though.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah. St. Sebastian also. There's like a specific catacombs of St. Sebastian if you go on the Via Appia outside of Rome. Yeah.
And another kind of unique thing for Agatha is that she's one of only a few women who are listed like in the official mass.
Yes.
It's like when they're praying for him, right. You can actually hear her name. Yeah. And you can think of her platter, her charger of breasts.
Her charger of breasts.
Oh my gosh. Women. Am I right? So strong. St. Agatha.
Also in February, but I believe a couple days ago, was St. Blaise, who you've been praying to lately to try and get your voice back.
I should have prayed to him first. I skipped my throat blessing.
St. Blaise.
See what happened.
Bishop of, I don't even know where, St. Blaise, somewhere.
I don't know off the top of my head.
But St. Blaise was a bishop, so a man of the church. His martyrdom was by beheading. So he is the patron of like throat ailments. And also,
he was
in
Armenia.
Armenia.
Somewhere.
I'd like to think of him as the patron saint of Nearly Headless Nick from the Harry Potter books, because that's who I think of when I think of St. Blaise.
Yeah.
St. Blaise. John Cleese, bringing us right back around to Monty Python.
Wow. It all comes together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and St. Blaise was like a bishop, known as an orator, all kinds of good stuff.
One of my personal favorites. St. Lawrence the Martyr. When you talk about favorite stories of martyrdom,
you have to tell your life.
St. Lawrence is one of my favorites. He's always pictured holding like a large cast iron griddle, essentially, which was called actually a gridiron. So when you talk about like football, the gridiron was actually a medieval torture device. And St. Lawrence was a bishop. I don't think he ever made it to bishop. The bishop that he worked under was going to be dragged off to be martyred.
Okay.
And he said, "Bishop, let me go with you. Let me serve you to the very end." And the bishop basically turned and said, "Don't worry about it. You'll be following soon enough."
kind of
predicting his death. And so
he was so holy.
Yeah. And he was one point in charge of this effort, so that they got word, the Christians did, that the Romans were going to come and they were going to take all of their gold, possessions, all the things that people had donated to the church.
Mm-hmm.
So Lawrence distributes it all to the poor. He says, "I'd rather give it to the poor than have the Romans get it." So the Romans show up and they say...
There's a lesson in there somewhere, everyone.
They say, "Give us all your stuff. Give us all your treasure. Yeah. We hear you have been hoarding treasure, church." And St. Lawrence apparently looks out and gestures to the crowd, which I'm doing with my hand right now, even though...
A grand sweep of his
it's a podcast. You can't see it.
Gesticulating really well.
And he says, "There is the treasure of our church." And he indicates all the poor people in the streets, which is ironic because he's given them all of the treasure.
He's like,
church.
No, literally.
He's not lying.
They are the people.
But they thought that he was. So they take him away and they put him on the gridiron, which basically roasts him over hot coals. Like all the martyrs, of course, he feels no pain. God has taken away all of the nerve endings in his body. Bullshit, right?
Okay. Yeah. Like, what's the point of suffering if you don't feel it, though? Like, Jesus felt it. Yeah. God was not like,
that is something,
free pass.
That is a story that people pass on after somebody else has gone through excruciating pain and died to not be able to refute the tale. They go, "Oh, yeah, no, he didn't feel any pain. Hey, guys, we're all probably going to get killed in a very similar way, but he didn't feel any pain."
Or even worse, like, he was in ecstasy. He had, like, a heavenly vision. Like, that's called shock.
Yeah.
Like,
but legend has it, St. Lawrence being roasted, told the executioners at one point to flip me over. "I'm done on this side."
So bad.
Or depending on what translation you get, "Flip me. I feel like I'm done on
once
this
again,
side.
Once again,
flip me
hands
over.
Hands are using, being used here.
And take a bite." So
what?
As in, like, "I'm done.
Eat me, bitches.
Bite me." Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he is the patron saint of comedians.
Wow.
St. Lawrence.
St. Lawrence. Here,
one of my very favorites.
It's a really great story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm blanking on his name and I'm sad because there is another martyr who like holds his own head under his arm. Is it St. Dennis? He walks about with his own head under his arm, being like, I'm not done preaching yet. Anyway, the saints are great. Okay, last one I want to highlight. I mean, like, that would be us, right? Like, right. Wait a minute, more to say.
I can't stop talking.
Please, fix my throat. Okay, I also want to highlight, because I didn't really know about him before.
It is St. Dennis, by the way.
Yes.
Quick Google image search, woo! Holding his own head.
Yep. I fucked up AG, but I got St. Dennis. Okay. Did you ask Siri? She didn't say anything that time.
All right. No, I don't talk to Siri.
Yeah. The last
We're not
one.
On speaking terms.
I don't think I didn't even touch it. Okay. So there's St. Polycarp, which just his name.
St. Polycarp.
The guy's like Polycarp. Like, classic. Is that how you say it? Is there any other way that that might be pronounced?
Say it with confidence. No one will know you're wrong.
I mean, it's Polycarp.
Yeah.
I think you just got to go for it.
Yeah.
Also, he was the bishop of Smyrna.
Smyrna.
Spelled just like you think.
Smyrna.
Smyrna. And he was a contemporary of the Apostle John.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. So he's like one of the earliest recorded, I think the earliest recorded, like verified account. So it's pretty cool for him.
Yeah.
And so they attempted to burn him. But it didn't work, so they used a dagger. And
how are people so bad at killing
people? One of
people?
The, like, Roman... But that's the thing about the Christians. Like, they're wily. Like, God is with them. So, like, you can't kill them quick.
I don't know, man.
They want their deaths to be
like
noticed.
If you're a Roman soldier and it's your job to kill people, like, get better at your job.
Okay, even the last one, St. Apollonia, who's got a great name, patroness of dentists. They rip out all her teeth, which is like a personal fear of mine, P.S., which is why this is another fucked up thing the church does. They make you the patron saint of the thing that like tortured you.
Right, yeah.
Like, St. Apollonia does not want to hear about teeth anymore.
Exactly.
All hers got ripped out.
Like the patron saint of like happy doves, but no.
No.
Patron saint of dentists. Or,
yeah, okay, so.
High suicide rate among any profession.
That happened, and they like tried to kill her, and it didn't work as usual. But she, like, ran into a fire rather than, like, go with the people or, like, give way. And they had to, like, campaign for her case because she kind of killed herself.
Right.
But also they were trying to kill her.
Yeah.
So she did become a saint. But it was, like, a little dodgy there for a bit.
A little dicey.
She was not a martyr. She was a martyr, but she was not a virgin. So they're like, we don't know. We don't know St. Apollonia.
One of those skeezy martyrs.
She was really old at the time, though, too.
Really?
Yeah. She's, like, 80s.
Well, but so here's the thing, though. The other, like, a lot of these, you know, like the ladies in the convents and stuff, like, they were virgins,
the nuns,
right? They were their whole lives,
yep.
You know, they enter the convent, they live their whole life, right?
Yep.
But, like you know, and now, who am I to cast aspersions on someone's life story or not? But, like, Mother Teresa, I would assume... was a virgin because she like entered the convent. Like maybe she wasn't, who knows, but like
it
doesn't matter. But like nobody refers to her as like Mother Teresa the Virgin because she was super old. Nobody looks at like an old wrinkly lady and celebrates her like virginity.
Nobody
it's only
cares
the young ones that
about
they actually,
the old lady virginity or the boy virginity.
Which becoming an old lady virgin is a hell of a lot harder than dying young a virgin.
I think they should get more credit to be honest. But maybe like, if we give a charitable benefit of the doubt, perhaps it only notes your virginity if that's, like, part of your martyr story.
Yeah.
Because, like, Agnes and Agatha, like, they were, like, sexually
defending
threatened.
Their honor.
Yeah, they were defending their virginity.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. All I know is I'm going to refer to her as Virgin Mother Teresa from now on. Saint Virgin Mother Teresa.
Oh, I think she earned it. I'm sure she did. Let's give it to her. Let's give it to her. We're giving them out. Virgin cards for all the nanny poos. No background checks required.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. Well, so many great martyrs.
Yeah, it's a great...
In all seriousness, like, how do you feel about martyrs? Like, are you happy to have this example?
I think I am. I mean, I think it kind of reinstates or reinforces, rather, you know, the idea that suffering is part of the human condition. And those who suffer with dignity or those who accept suffering in a way that highlights their faith, they should deserve, like, a little bit of recognition for that. Now, I think that maybe we hand out a lot bit of recognition for the single act of martyrdom.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends, right?
Yeah.
And so if you are putting your life on the line, then maybe you deserve it. I think I'm glad we have them one way or the other.
I think
I'd rather have them than not.
Well, good.
Well, no, I mean, like, I would rather not have that. That came out very wrong.
Listen, guys, you had to die some way. I'm glad you did it for a purpose. I am glad. Whatever.
I am glad that we honor them. I would rather honor these people than not honor them. Yeah.
Guess is so magnanimous.
I'm going to go make a few more in my spare time.
Virgin ones. You just, this would have been a good one to
record. Just snorted into my sand sabby.
Oh, poor Saint Sebastian.
Yeah. All right. Hedgehog. What about you?
You know, I feel like it's a really good part of history to have because we're getting farther and farther from that time where that even seems like real.
Yeah.
You're like, what do you mean? Like people like actually like died for it. And right. I think that is something important that we shouldn't lose because, or like, not that we would lose it, but to have that example, because it's not something in our current state. Yeah. And so I think, you know, we can be flip about it and we, I mean, I'm sorry if your breasts are on a charger, I'm going to make a joke, but like also, there was this, this extreme circumstances and that people didn't live through it and died for it. And that the faith continued.
Yes.
Is powerful, and that is our history. And I wonder, as it gets farther and farther along, how we'll see current martyrs.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, we did talk a little bit. We didn't really highlight them today, but you know, St. Paul Miki from Japan was a more recent one, and like those do seem very powerful. So I can kind of imagine what it seemed like to people in the first centuries, you know, of Christianity to hear about these stories and take that inspiration and think about like yourself, like what does this mean to me if it's really put on the line? Yeah. And I think that is a good mental exercise to do. Like, what are you willing, like, can you imagine like really like sticking to your beliefs that hard that you're going to let somebody, you know, mutilate you or violate you
in the face of not just death, like not just a quick painless death, but like a prolonged,
like to be an example. Yeah. Like, are you willing to like, really suffer?
Well, and in a world where a lot of people are already like all too willing to take a life in God's name, the people who are willing to give up their life, whether it's, you know, like the actual act of giving up life or giving up control over your life in God's name, should be honored, you know?
Yeah.
That's the more noble pathway.
Yeah.
Sometimes we lose sight of that. So.
Okay.
So take a moment, raise a glass to your favorite martyr.
Raise a glass.
Do a little research. Learn a little bit about the martyrs. You know, like if you don't have a favorite, go find one.
We barely like.
Oh my gosh!
Scraped
so many.
A like little icicle off the glacier. So we didn't even talk about St. Lucy and her eyeballs. There's another one for you guys.
Yeah.
Google.
Yeah. If you go to the right church, you'll have St. Lucy with her eyes staring right at St. Agatha's boobs, and it'll be like really awkward. Yeah.
Oh, Catholicism. We do love you. So weird.
So we should be back next week, but at this point, I don't know about making false promises.
We make no promises, but we're trying.
We should be back with our final official episode of this season, and then we'll wrap up this season and start to look ahead to Lent. So,
Lent is coming. Yeah. Sharpen your...
Lent is coming.
Sharpen your sword.
It's a Game of Thrones spoof that needs to happen. Lent is coming.
It's on next week or whenever.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. And we'll catch you when we catch you, apparently, here on Church Drunk.
Where you could get strangled.
Or your boobs could end up on a plate.